Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour podcast. I am your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I am joined by my husband and co-host.
The Kev on Stage.
They're laughing because that's like our fourth take in 30 seconds. And we are joined today by a very special guest, Miss Nicole Ward.
Hi!
LMFT. Which I just found out what LMFT stood for, I'm not going to lie. I don't know why I didn't
license,
know before.
Masters
Marriage
and,
family therapist.
Physical is a P.
It's okay.
And as you know, this month we are...
Wait, do you counsel children?
I used to.
Are you open? Our son, we think, needs a...
I do think he needs a counselor. Might,
and,
oh.
we think a black woman would be the best.
Thank you. Actually have... I can give you some recommendations.
I will take your... I will absolutely take your recommendations. No, I absolutely
will. We will take your recommendations. You feel me?
Yes. I worked for kids for over a decade.
Did
really?
You
Why did you stop?
And then I went into private practice to work with adults. Working with kids is great, but adults is, and couples, relationships, that's where my passion's at.
I love it. Hold on, let me turn
on. Mine was buzzing too. Sorry.
It was my sister. Okay. As you know, for the month of February, we are taking the stigma out of sex. We have had really fantastic guests and fantastic conversations this entire month. And we decided to take your questions for the last episode of the month. So thank you to everyone who sent in your questions. Some of these questions I've kind of combined and made one. And then some of them I'm using verbatim, but we ain't going to say y'all names. So.
Mm-hmm. You're safe. You're safe. This is a safe space.
So don't be scared. And before we get started, I do want to thank our sponsor, OpenFit,
yes,
for sponsoring today's episode. When you support our sponsors, you are supporting us. So we always appreciate your support. And before we go into this or that, I just really quickly want to say that Kevin and I consider ourselves marriage champions. We are not licensed clinical psychologists, therapists, or any of the things. And while Nicole actually is, do not consider this a substitute for therapy. If anything that we are saying today hits home for you and like resonates with you, I definitely recommend reaching out to an actual licensed counselor, therapist that's near you, so that way you can get the appropriate attention, therapy, counseling, coaching, etc. that you need. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, all
amen.
Right. All right. So as always, we start with a this or that question. Oh, wait.
This.
I didn't even give your bio. Hold on a second. Let
bio
me give
first.
Your... Let me go in and give your accolades.
Accolades.
Nicole M. Ward is a licensed marriage.
You got to look like a guest pastor when she's reading.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Nicole Ward
I'll do it
is
for
a.
Because I know you're humble. Regardless, I'll be her guest pastor.
It's, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank
We're
going
to be laughing all day. Is a licensed marriage and family therapist specializing in mental. I've been fumbling all day.
It's all right.
Okay. Specializing in mental health and relationship wellness.
Yes.
Nicole believes that mental health is a natural and important part of an overall wellness regimen. In addition to being a licensed therapist, she is also a licensed attorey. Hey, yes. Black girl magic. Nicole.
Career.
Yes. Nicole is a member of the California Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, and she has worked with clients for over 13 years.
Yes.
Yay. Did we welcome?
Thank you.
Kev, you did that like we were talking about you.
Amen. God bless you. God's just doing a new thing in my life. I'm just grateful. Grateful.
Great proxy. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. So the this or that question
that
is.
That or this. Stop disrespecting.
That or this question
with Kev
is.
Kev and Liz.
Doodaloo. It's time for this or that with Kev and Liz. This or that with Kev and Liz.
Tomato.
Tomato. Potato.
Potato.
We choose each other, no matter the problem. This or that with Kev and Liz. This or that with Kev and Liz.
That's our jingle. Is, would you rather get caught in the act by a cop or your parents?
You can go ahead, Nicole.
Cop.
Cop? That was easy for you.
That's really easy for me. Cop. Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. No questions asked.
No questions asked. Because it's cop, I don't have to ever see them again. There's no really having to explain anything. I would feel less embarrassed. Yeah.
I think I would too. I think I'm going with cop as well. I think I would feel definitely less embarrassed. Kev?
Mom.
Why your
look
mom?
At your baby boy.
I can't stand
I'm all
you.
Mad now. Dad, what's up? You feel me? I don't want to get accosted by a police officer because I might end up tased while naked. And then I'm going to be on soft in public.
Oh, no.
And that's just like my worst fear.
I literally can't stand
you. I don't want to be on soft in public. If it's my mom and dad, like, it's going to be embarrassing for them, not for me.
You're not going to be embarrassed.
No, I'm going to be like, yeah, you used to change my diaper, but I'm all grown up.
I literally cannot.
What's good? You feel me? It could be whatever.
Okay.
Thanksgiving and Christmas is going to be weird after that, though.
Oh, every time I see them would be weird.
Absolutely, but I ain't going to hold you. I don't want no police officer. Isn't it illegal? Is it illegal to have sex in your car or anything?
It depends on where you're at.
Is it indecent exposure?
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought so too.
Yeah.
Decent exposure?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't. What if I got arrested naked? It's a whole thing. And I'm in the back of the squad car. The seats are all hard.
You're
going to
make the shade room.
And I'll be in the shade room. If that was the first time I ever make the shade room.
Yes, social media star.
Oh, accosted. Gosh. Y'all better. That'd be the one time they tag me. They never tag me.
Oh, you're getting all the tags. And even if they don't tag you, the comments are just going to be at Kev on stage, at Kev on stage. Melissa, you see this? Was you the one in the car?
Better be. Shoot. Just kill me then.
They would too. Okay, so I think we're ready to go into our topic, unless Kevin has something he wants to say.
No. I think it's too early to say anything yet.
Okay, so let's go.
The first question is a good one.
Okay, so let's go. So what we've done this week is, again, took your questions. So I will just go through a few of them and we shall answer and discuss them together.
Okay.
So question number one. Do you think you can have good girl syndrome without being a virgin? And I will provide a little bit of context to this question in case this is your first time joining the podcast. As many of you know, I was a virgin on my wedding day, and I have described that as having good girl syndrome because I felt brainwashed, to be honest, because I, you know, just grew up thinking that being a virgin was, not that it's a bad thing. So I want to be clear that I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. But my mentality and my view of sex was definitely tainted, and it wasn't in a healthy space. I'll say that.
Okay.
And so once I got married, I was having a very hard time adjusting to, you know, being a wife and embracing my sexuality because I was like so in tune with being a good girl that I was just like, I can't do sex. This is shameful. This is dirty. This is bad. Like this is, it's all of these things. And now I'm in this different context in which God is like, no, this is okay now. And my mind was like, no,
it's totally fine now.
It's not totally fine. And so that was a very hard adjustment.
I have a question for you. I never asked you this. How long did it take for you for that to wear off?
Oh, a long time. Like, to be honest, there is definitely still remnant and residue of that mentality
to this day.
15 years later. Absolutely.
15
because
years.
Because what
in?
Happens for me is that it is not just what you are taught to believe, it becomes who you are. And once something like that is just, it's core mm-hmm. programming. And once something like that is like imprinted on your moral fiber, it is imprinted on quite literally who you are as a person. It colors your whole world. The conversations that I have about sex, it's colored by this good girl mentality. You know what I mean? And so then it's just hard to undo.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you were taught this good girl stuff and then like, you like reinforce it on your own more and more and more and more than the church or your family ever did?
I think that because my natural personality is a little bit more conservative, just kind of my natural demeanor, and I'm very much a rule follower, that it was just compounded.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, Nicole, she's the absolute
no,
worst.
But, that, okay. But you had a good point, Kevin, because that's what happens is that our own thoughts start to turn into facts for us, and we just reinforce whatever the initial message was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, like her being a rule follower, people be trying to hook us up, and Melissa never recognizes
it. I never even understand the context of the conversation is a wink.
Yes.
Because I'm so into,
and they'll
like,
be like, hey,
here's my $50.
They're like,
Melissa, go. No, I said I have $50 for you. You didn't take it.
I'll be like,
confused.
Oh, y'all good. And she'll be like, I need to pay you money. If I don't, it's illegal. And they're like,
I don't
nah,
be like that.
Yes,
but I'd be
she
like
does.
That.
People have tried to hook us up so many times. And she's like, mm-mm, I don't feel right about it. I'll call the police on you. And stuff like that. I'd be like, girl.
He's over-exaggerating.
You don't see the, if you don't wink.
No, it has to even be more than a week. It needs to be like, we're going to go into this store and I'm going to hook you up. Play along. And I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. Otherwise, I'm just like, oh, I got these shoes. I need to, this literally happened when we were in college and this guy was trying to like hook us up for some shoes. And I was literally like, oh, you didn't take my money. I didn't pay for these.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, I am just completely.
She ain't from the streets.
I mean,
Nicole,
I missed it.
Like me.
No, I have missed the moment completely.
Completely.
But it's just like. And not it's literally just like I didn't realize that the conversation, like I didn't understand the undertones of the conversation. I missed it.
But you know this about yourself, so that's what's important.
Yes.
I do. I'm
and
trying to do better, but I don't.
Your husband knows this about you, so that's important too.
But he didn't. He wasn't happy with me always.
I'm sure.
But
you, at least you know it. It's something that's known, and you're not trying to hide it.
No.
And even being able to joke about it is important.
Yes.
But I mean, back to being powerful. That's how powerful your mind is. And if you follow the rules, you can set your own rules as a good girl.
True. The problem is that you realize you can set them, at least for me, later in life.
Right.
And so you have to still undo the initial training. And then, and so that's part of it too. What we were talking about this earlier is that you, the hardest part about relearning something is being confronted with a, and this to me is my definition of brainwashing. It is being confronted with a new truth and not being able to accept it.
Yeah.
Not being able to change your actions and your mentality to match this newfound revelation. And that is like the stronghold, so to speak, of the good girl mentality. It's like, I know that sex isn't bad. I know that sex isn't shameful. I know that the teachings that I had before were misinformed and misleading. And, you know, they just always weren't from a healthy space. And that negatively impacted me. I had knowledge. I got that. When it comes to like putting that into place, child, I'm gonna revert right back to right. What was. And that's like the hardest part, I think. And then what happens is you're like, okay, I know this. I'm going to try to do better. And then you try to do better. And you're like, well, now I feel shameful. Now I feel guilty. Now I feel like this is like not what I should be doing because it is going against, again, that core programming.
Mm-hmm.
Counsel me, Nicole. What do we do?
I think it's important to recognize that you know that, but awareness is just one part. And for a lot of people, being aware can actually make it more frustrating. It's like you were maybe in an invisible box before and you didn't realize that you were in that box. And then all of a sudden with this awareness, the box stops being invisible and you see where you're at, but then you don't know how to get out yet.
That's so,
so
true.
Awareness,
you don't know how
is
to give up
step.
The box if you're a good girl. It makes it hard because you'd be like, I'm good. And I'd be like, but the box. And everything feels nasty.
But right, it's that even the nasty part, right? So it's the good girls, there's the nasty girls, and these labels that go on
so
them.
True.
But we can define ourselves and being able to say, okay, what does being a good girl mean for me? And being able to take away that guilt and shame are really powerful.
They are.
This is where shoulds come in, and like I should do this, I should do that, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that. Instead of being able to talk about what you want to do or where your own morals and values are, like being able to be secure in yourself.
You know what that's interesting about sex, and we just have to speak plainly because this is the sex month. There were times where, so me and Melissa, obviously, when we first got married, our sex life was very conservative. Year one through, I don't know, first couple of years. So as we started experimenting with more things, Melissa would say, like, I would say, you know, let's try this, or I would try something and she would like it, but she would be like, stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd be like, girl, I don't, but your body is telling me you like it. She's like, but my mind is saying no. And that incongruence was making the whole act like weird, because if she couldn't accept it mentally, it didn't really matter what, like physically, if it was enjoyable, if it is deemed nasty or weird or uncomfortable, then you can't do it. And that was one thing that I had to like learn, is like, if you're not comfortable, it doesn't really matter mm-hmm. what you're doing. But so I never really thought about it, like how sex was being framed in like a purity mindset. I just thought, like, when we were coming up, it was like, are you a freak or not? You know what I mean? And the other thing is, there was like no in between.
Right.
Like, you were either a freak, like, so like Melissa was really conservative, and it was like girls who rejected that was just wild. There wasn't nobody who was just like, I'm kind of open. At least when we were coming up, those labels were like mm-hmm. either good girl or freak. And, you know, like, obviously in everything in life, there's a scale or a gradient right. of some of, you know, of some sort. And I think what happened with us is I would get really frustrated. Now, we talk about this a lot, not really frustrated, but a little frustrated, mainly because I had sex prior to getting married. So, you know, I would be like comparing that, those prior experiences mm-hmm. to my current situation and being like, man, but what? Like, I thought it was going to be Josh. You want to join the podcast or you want to talk to Siri? Man, yesterday he was eating a whole sandwich in here. If you want to be on the show, pull up a chair and do a new mic. I lost my train of thought, but I wasn't really going anywhere anyway.
Okay. Did you have anything to add to that?
Again, being able to share that, like what you were talking about, Kevin, mm-hmm. and the fact that Melissa knows that, like mm-hmm. there isn't any surprise mm-hmm. in the marriage or that it was being held. I think yeah. that's really important.
Yeah.
So that you two could work through this together, even though, yes, it was your personal journey. But being that you were with Kevin, mm-hmm. being able to navigate it together so that one person doesn't feel left out or like you feel more ostracized mm-hmm. if yes. your spouse is like, what's wrong with you? Right.
And I agree. A lot of times I know I have felt like, or the spouse that kind of struggles with sex, you often feel like the problem.
Yeah.
And that it compounds the issue. Like, it makes it worse because you feel like I need to be fixed.
Yes.
And coming from that mentality, that's not even a healthy space to begin, you know, like to a healthy journey.
No, people say that a lot, and I tell them I'm not in the business of fixing people. Mm. It's about healing and growing.
Wait, what's your therapist? You gotta fix me. I'm broken.
No. machines break. You know, and you might feel broken, but you're not. You're whole. And it's being able to recognize that wholeness and healing and growing from there.
Oh, my gosh. I just got like a little bit of a revelation because what you're saying is because we really do think of ourselves as being broken.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and pastors, if you're broken.
Yes.
God can fill yes. you up. I know some of you are brokenhearted.
This is a little bit off topic, but even in being like a single person, if you're not married, you feel like because I'm not married, there's something wrong with me. I am broken. Instead of realizing I am a whole person and there may be things that need to be healed.
Yes.
But there's nothing missing in me.
There's nothing missing.
And I always, that is actually my definition of wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. Yes. And so to start from a place of I am a full, complete individual with nothing missing, nothing broken. There may be issues, or I don't even know if issues is the right word, but there may be things that need to be addressed and healed, but there is nothing broken. There is nothing missing in me. That's powerful.
I agree.
Yes, it's about healing and growth.
Healing and growth. Ooh, I really like that. Okay, do we want to add anything there? Oh, I wanted to say that the like a practical thing with like overcoming the good girl syndrome, at least for me, was education. Like directly confronting my core programming head on. It was very like eye-opening and awakening for me, because you end up in your own like echo chamber. Mm-hmm. I grew up this way. I'm surrounded by people who believe what I believe. I go to church with people who believe I believe. My friends also naturally are going to believe, you know what I mean? Like, yes. And so you have your own echo chamber of what I believe, and it's just compounded like all the way around. And then you read something and it's like, wait, what? I never thought of that. I never even considered this alternative to what I believe. And being confronted with that, while it's uncomfortable and it's challenging, it's necessary for growth.
Yes. Yes. It has. It actually has a clinical name. It's called cognitive dissonance. Mm. And people navigate it through it different ways. They either, when confronted with something that's different, they go through that feeling of uncomfortable and continue to pursue through it to mm-hmm. find out more. Or it's too uncomfortable and they shut down and stick with what they believe in the face of any kind of counter evidence to it. Yeah.
Don't shut down. Keep going. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying.
In the interest of being open and honest, I need to be honest with you guys and our listening audience. It's the end of the second month of the year. Melissa just bought the tickets for us to go to Hawaii, and I was supposed to be in shape. I was looking through my throwbacks, and I saw I was heavy at the last Hawaii. And I remember last time Josh took this
picture. Did you really?
Of me. Yes. Josh took this picture of me. It was hilarious and stuff, but I was like, whew, by next Hawaii, I'm going to be fit.
Okay.
Next Hawaii is on its way. Okay. I looked at myself in the mirror today, pretty much going to look like I looked last year. When I was in Hawaii, okay? But I love myself. That's I love my body.
There's nothing broken.
There's some things that are bigger and smoother that could be strong and hard. So luckily, we have a relationship with Open Fit.
Yes, we do.
And the one time that I was super in shape was with Open Fit.
Because why?
Because one, it was really easy for me. So obviously, I'm on tour right now, going into our second month, and I travel like crazy. So even going to the gym seems like a lot of times. The gym is only 15 minutes from my house, but it just seems...
And honestly, I actually think that that's the biggest thing about gym is that it's a whole process. It is the getting up. It is the getting dressed. It is the leaving the house. It is the going out. Like, it's a whole process. And that's what it's not like. Once you're in the gym, you can garner the energy to do what you have to do. But getting there, child, that mental.
Leaving the house when it's cold in the winter takes a certain level of discipline I don't always have.
Facts.
The house is warm, and with Open Fit, you have all these workouts from various levels of experience or intensity. And I was gonna say calm and relaxing as yoga.
They do have yoga.
Yeah, but yoga can be intense.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, I was like, when I first started Open Fit, I used to skip the yoga days because I was like, I'm gonna go harder. And my boy, who's a trainer, was like, did you do the yoga? And I was like, nah, that's easy. He was like, have you done it? I was like, nah, bro, I do the hard stuff only. He was like, do the yoga. Hardest thing on there. Like, not hard, but like when you holding your body still and breathing comfortably, like it's tough. So luckily I lost a good amount of weight because I was consistent.
Yes.
Because all I had to do was come downstairs, go to my living room, turn on a DVD or go on the website, pick out exercise, and be consistent with most things. If you are consistent with it, you will see results. Nothing is overnight and nothing is automatic. But if you're consistent, it's a lot easier, and it's easier to be consistent with Open Fit because they have so many different workouts and so many different levels, so many different times.
And it's convenient.
That's the biggest thing.
You can do it from anywhere, anytime, hotel, at home, wherever you are. Open up your computer, you can do it, and that's what makes it easy. So Open Fit has changed the way I work out, and with my code LOVE, you can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use my code LOVE, L-O-V-E, and start using Open Fit for your journey to a healthier life today. Right now, during the Open Fit 30-day challenge, my listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to Open Fit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days. You should do this before Hawaii.
15 pounds in 30 days?
Yes, because Hawaii is in April. Yeah, we should all do the Open Fit Challenge.
Let's do it.
And we have ads Hawaii with them for a while.
8 weeks away.
Okay, exactly. Let's do it. Matter I'm
fact,
down.
From today, it's literally about 8 weeks away.
Are you down, Joshua?
Is there still time?
Yes. Hawaii. Okay, join our...
I want to go to Hawaii looking like The Rock and not the
you
pig.
You can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days. And they have nutrition...
nutrition is... So important.
Yeah, that's just as important as working. Low key, it's like more important.
Open Fit.
Okay, Joshua, you're down. I don't want to lose 15 pounds. I'm going to do the gain muscle one.
Okay, I want to lose 15
pounds. Okay, here we go. 15 pounds in 30 days.
I'm in.
Joshua. No, I need your out loud. It's the only way it counts.
I am.
Okay. When you, so text love to 303030. Right now? Yes, right now. You get a free 30-day trial. Okay. You will get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and nutrition information totally free, Joshua listeners. Again, just text love, that's L-O-V-E, to 303030. And we're going to do it, and we're going to check in every podcast episode.
Cool.
All right. Next question. Spouse, okay, so this is like the general synopsis of the question. Me and my spouse have opposite schedules, and as a result of our opposite schedules, our sex life has taken a hit. He feels like his wife isn't giving him the sex that he, enough sex, and she feels like he isn't giving her the words of affirmation and non-sexual touches she desires. Do we have any recommendations on how to resolve this conflict?
I look to Nicole first.
So I will say this, that I think that this is a very common problem
yes.
in relationships because work is a hater on intimacy. Kids are a hater on intimacy.
Kids are haters, period.
Church can be a hater to intimacy. Chores can be a hater. Like all of these things are competing for your time and your attention. And when you are, I used to say this all the time, I no longer work a traditional 9-to-5, but when I did, I always felt like I give the best of me and the best hours of my day to this job. It is hard to garner enough energy to figure out a second wind to give something to my family. And it shouldn't be that way. But when you're at work, like at least for me, like I am trying to do all the things and I'm trying to do it at a high level. And then when you get home, you just want a minute to like, ooh, I need to breathe for a second. But also the kids have homework and the dishes need to be done and dinner needs to be cooked. And then your husband is looking for your attention and you're just like, how can I juggle all of these things? And it just makes it difficult. And because the biologically speaking, men and women are different in like the sexual way, generally speaking, not everybody. It makes it hard. Men can just, I'm ready right now. And women need that time of like intimacy and outside connection. It just, child, I get it. It makes it difficult. So like navigating that is like, that can be a strain on right. your relationship.
Yeah. And this is a really common problem is being able to talk about it mm-hmm. in an open space. And so I know one of the things that I mentioned is about talking John Gottman, he's mm-hmm. a theorist that works with relationships.
If you haven't read none of the things by John Gottman, I definitely recommend. And maybe it's because I'm such a dork and I am like enthused by this
speak
stuff.
Kindly to yourself.
No, that wasn't negativity. I'm just
calling
saying like
a dork, no.
That can be a positive term.
Yes.
Well, I thought you'd be on my side.
I just meant like I enjoy reading this stuff and it may not be something that like an average person is like, girl, don't nobody want to read that. But because I like genuinely enjoy and like this stuff, I find it kind of fascinating.
And it's great. I mean, because he's done a lot of research with couples. He's worked with over 4,000 couples and doing empirical based research. But one of the things that I really like is it's called the State of the Union. Mm-hmm. And it's where
like
you have
too.
An hour of protective space to talk to your spouse about the state of the relationship. So what's going on in it? You're going to start out by talking about what's going well. So coming up with like 5 things that you appreciate about your partner or even what you appreciate about the relationship, and then use that time to talk about what's going on. So when it comes to sex, you can use that as, you know, what's going on with our sex life and being able to have that space to communicate. He also has a book called 8 Great Dates that I have not finished reading because it's very new. And in there, one of the conversations, one of the dates is centered around sex. And so that's just being able to let couples
a conversation
know.
About sex, not a date of sex.
Oh, well.
Well, it's up to you how you
Got
frame
it.
It.
Hey. He only heard that one. He was like, yeah, I like it.
It's up to you how you frame it. But it's being able to talk about that. And when you have these conversations outside of the bedroom is what I recommend. A lot of times people have them
I have so many recommendations.
In the bedroom. But it's being able to talk about that and how the realistic pulls on our time. And just even you can schedule sex. I know a lot of couples think that that's weird.
I know. So tell me your feelings on that. Because I do.
Schedule sex.
I know. I do feel like, wait, hold on. I have a couple things before I get to that. Because you said something that I thought was really important.
But let's not forget about scheduling.
That's
sex.
Fine. Don't. You can come back. Could put a pin in it. I'll put a pin in it. Okay. The State of the Union. I really love this idea a lot as a healthy time and space to talk about your relationship. One of the things that that kind of came to mind just now is when we were kids, my mom, we used to have like family time. Mm-hmm. And during family time, my mom would also use it as a time for us to like vent our grievances. And it would turn into this like, I don't want to say a yelling match, but everyone would end up crying and my mom would end up like fussing because it always ended up being like we had a really good Bible study and we all love each other. And now you don't clean the kitchen. Your room is dirty. You don't cook. And yesterday he stepped on my new shoes. And it's kind of like, how do we get here? So my question was, how do you make that time productive so it doesn't turn into an argument? And one of the things, I'm going to let you talk as an expert, not me, Melissa. But one of the things I thought of, if you have already pre-planned topics or pillars in your relationship, so that way it's not like a surprise and it's not new and I don't feel attacked because last week we just talked about how everything was great and this week you want to add this topic in and I wasn't ready and now I'm off guard and now I want to fight you.
No, you can create an agenda. I mean, you can do that. It's being able to make the State of the Union also reflective of you and who you are within the relationship, both mm-hmm. partners, mm-hmm. and then how your relationship is flowing. So starting off, the reason I recommend those first five is just because you want to have the positive interaction to start it with. Mm-hmm. And then going down the agenda using I statements.
I statements. Tell us about I statements.
So instead of saying you did not take out the trash, I was disappointed because the trash was not taken out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I noticed that the trash wasn't taken out by you. Which is an I statement.
It's interesting how people do that, too. Yeah. We phrase the I statement in the beginning, but then the you still comes in there and it still feels blaming. Right. So if you take the you off the end of it, that statement would have been fine. And then if you want to say what the partner, if you're talking about what your spouse may have said to you or what you're going to say, I heard you say instead of you said.
Oh, my gosh. So I think that this is really important and really good, especially when you said I was disappointed, because when you blame, it becomes defensive. And now I'm just going to prove my point as to why you were wrong. And you're just going to defend your point as to why you're right. And you really get in nowhere instead of saying, this is how this made me feel. And I think I would be more apt to be like, oh, I really didn't mean to disappoint you. I really didn't mean to offend you or hurt you or whatever. I apologize. This is what was going on. And it seems like you can have a more productive conversation from that space versus a blaming space, which automatically makes defenses go up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the point behind it, of using the I statements and being able to even say, I heard you say, mm-hmm. because you're giving the partner an opportunity, number one, to respond in a way that feels more complete, because you're going to be responding to the emotion that was put out there, or being able to correct words like, well, no, actually I said, instead of it being blame filled or somebody coming from guilt. And when you describe someone's behavior, if you've noticed that's mm-hmm. what you describe, mm-hmm. they're going to attend to that behavior. And then your argument becomes about the behavior and whatever people were feeling gets lost in that.
You know what? That happened today. This kind of thing. We're not proficient in I versus you statements, mm-hmm. but we were buying tickets for one of our tour dates, right? So we were having a conversation. Mind you, we have a lot of stuff going on, so we're like having conversations and both our minds are running. So it was my impression that I said clearly, I'm going to buy this particular ticket with miles. Can you buy the return ticket online? Because it was two different airlines, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought I said that, right? Melissa heard differently. And she said, mm-hmm. She said, no, you asked me, could I do it? Could her being herself mm-hmm. buy both tickets mm-hmm. using miles and the other way. So we get into it a little bit, not ridiculous. You know, she got out of the car in a huff and she got in the car in a huff and she got in the shower And I knew she was mad because I slipped in the shower, which I often do, and I banged my elbow like hard. And usually when I slip in the shower, she's like, "Are you okay?" This time I slipped in the shower, she was just like,
"I don't even remember that.
Be careful with me." Crazy, right? So I thought about it more, and I thought to myself, honestly, because Melissa has a really good memory of tasks. She doesn't have a great memory for everything.
I don't.
But tasks, she remembers clearly. So I'm going to speed this story up. Essentially, what happened was I came back in the room and I said, look, I also have a history of saying stuff and forgetting how I say or rewording or whatever. So I said, you know what? Because I couldn't remember if I said it right or she said it right. And I bring this up because Melissa was talking about being defensive. And I was like, you know what? Given our history, it is more likely that I didn't communicate clearly than that you misheard me. So I apologize for not communicating clearly. Right. And she thanked me. And then she said, when you think you're right, you always come across condescending. So, and that's not my intention. And it's also something I'm not aware of. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I don't mean you're dumb. I just really think I'm right. Like, and I know myself. I know what I said. I ain't saying nothing about you. But I'm saying, but if that same feeling is coming across as condescension, then it doesn't really matter to me if that's not my intention, if it's still coming across that. So I said, I will work on, because she said, and to her credit, this is true. She said, when I'm wrong, I think I'm right, I'll give myself an out and say, well, I don't think I said that, but that could be true. Let's move forward. And you don't do that. You just be like, I'm right. I'm kept on stage. Like, she didn't say that part. So anyway, we came to an agreement, and I think that was our version of a you statement, because what she wasn't really worried about, which I thought, realized later, it wasn't that I was right or she was wrong. It was the way I was talking to her was making her feel like I was above her. She didn't clearly communicate that, but when she said that part, it became more clear. Right. But it took me apologizing and recognizing my default in that area that got us to that point, because there's no way she can come. If we both think we're right, then who's going to break the ice to, you know, get us out of this rut? And so I think that's important to say how people's stuff makes you feel. Right. Because I had done this a couple weeks ago when she was doing this, and I told another guest, but I'm going to tell you too. When she didn't hear me, she'd be like, what? Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. What? And I was like, she had been doing it. And I was like,
it's not quite like that. But
it is. It is. Don't keep going. These are my feelings.
Okay. You can have it.
So
how do you feel when she says
when she
that?
Does that, I feel like she don't respect me. I'm like, yo, why are you looking at me like that?
I said that in
like
one
that?
Of my examples here.
Like, why are you talking? All I'm doing is asking you a question. Why is that your response? Right. So she was like, you know what? I don't really, you know, that's not my intention. And I'll try to work on that. And honestly, I can't remember the last time she did it. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know she can't be, she don't hear good. You know, I just love her anyway. As her hearing fades. I'll love you. Your hair turns gray. I'll still want you if you gain a little weight. And if you need
that's
a hearing
music.
Aid.
Music. So
I said all that to say that, I think we are trying our version of that, but I like what you said. Like when the action stuff happened, how that made me feel, because I don't think people are always aware of how they're, stuff is coming off.
Right.
You just are, you're saying stuff and doing stuff. You're not aware of how it affects people. And then our relationships, because like we don't want to nag, we don't want to get into it. Mm-hmm. We don't say, hey, when you do that, it makes me feel like this. And that's not my intention. So now I can work on it because I want my intentions to reflect my motives.
Awesome. I mean, because what you did is you went to the feelings and you want to be understood.
Right.
Because even though it's like, I'll ask, do you want to be right or do you want to be understood? And even if someone's like, I want to be right, when you dig deeper, it's still they want to be understood.
Yeah.
Their point to be understood and what the feelings are under there. And you're not going to get the you statements correct all the time.
Right.
I don't get them correct all the time in my relationship. So it's just being able
you
to
pissing me off. You are
it's
pissing
being able
me
to
off.
Recognize like the language that you're creating together and being able to share your realities, because your realities are different even though you're in the same relationship. So you have to communicate them in order
to create.
I know.
I was gonna
vision.
Go there now. I
your realities
to say
are different even though you're in the same relationship.
Yes.
Expound upon that.
Yes,
point.
Please do. I love this too.
So basically it's that you are a whole person and you have expectations, you have experiences, you have the way that you perceive the world that comes into your relationship.
Yeah.
Now, yes, you two are creating a shared vision together, but your realities of it aren't always the same based upon your perceptions, your expectations, mm-hmm. and just who you are as a human. You want to be able to share those realities with one another so that you create this shared vision together. And not trying to be perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect couple. No such thing as a perfect spouse.
You know what, Nicole?
Humans are imperfect. That. Yes, we were talking about that earlier.
People think we have a perfect relationship. And actually, since we've been doing the podcast more consistently, people are like, hey, actually, man, thank y'all for keeping it real. Because people think that. We were talking before we started this. And we were saying, like, I disappoint myself all the time. I'm supposed to get up early. I'm supposed to go to the gym. But if I go to Open Fit, I can work out at home. Hey, but I'm not supposed to have 30, milkshakes. 30. You know how many times me and Melissa are like, we off milkshakes. No more.
I never said that.
I said it. You know how easy it is to be like, you want a milkshake? Yes. Like, no defense mechanism. And I'd be drinking them and I'd be like, this is so good, I should not have. Why am I eating more burger? I should not have more burger. So if I disappoint myself all the time, it is patently ridiculous to expect I'm not going to disappoint or upset my wife.
Right.
It's just, we are two people living, you know, in the same house, but different worlds, different views. Like, I'm super ambitious. Melissa's very conservative. Mm-hmm. We're both chasing this goal, which perfect example. And I'm going to let them go on because I feel like I'm taking over the podcast. We're doing this conference, right? Mm-hmm. Love Our Conference. Melissa's like, no fire festival. Let's do 1,000 people because I want to make sure we can do it. And I'm like, I know we can do it. 5,000 people. And
it's both. It's our first one.
And it's our first one.
Not in LA.
Okay.
Within our own realities, those respective numbers are equally ambitious.
Yes. Good job. That is true.
That was great that I said that.
Yes.
That is.
And for her, my ambitious is like, Kevin, are you crazy? And to me, I'm like, 1,000, man, I can do 1,000. That's nothing. Right. But we have to come into agree, like, in order to like actually rent the venue, we have to decide on a number. Mm-hmm. And because of the fire festival, we're going with her number because I don't want to be Ja Rule or Billy McFarlane.
Yeah. McFarlane.
So but I think that's a really interesting point that you bring up, that you're living in the same world with two different realities, like black people living in America compared to white people. Like, yes, it's the same country, no, but it's a totally different experience for us in a lot of different ways.
And people don't necessarily do that. We are very internal and internalize things. So looking at how we experience the world as that's how other people are experiencing. And it's not. And especially in the relationship, that gets even more so.
Right.
But what you guys did is you talked about it.
Let me tell you something. I just had...
Let's not forget about scheduling sex, because I feel like we're getting away from it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's pinned in everybody else's mind.
Okay, I forgot. So I'm happy you reminded. Let me just say this really quickly.
And nudes, if you have any therapist stuff.
I have to tell her about that too. Okay.
Because it's our last sex topic, and I don't want to be talking about something else, and then we don't get it.
Okay, I got it.
Amen.
So listen,
I'm going out of town.
The revelation that I had just now is that those two separate realities in one relationship is conflict. Mm-hmm. There lies conflict. If I see our world shaped this way, and it's about later on, we have a question actually about it's the next question about having a healthy resolution in a relationship. And when you aren't able to, you talked about being specific and being like detailed about like what your vision and what you're looking for. And when you can't come to terms with each other, I used to watch, the People's Court, and she used to always say a
Judge
contract.
Mary Leon.
Yeah, she used to say a contract. I love Judge Mary Leon. I used to love her.
She loves her.
I legitimately
love
her.
She wants to spend the night at her house.
You're a stand, okay?
I am a stand, definitely. But one of the things she used to always say is that a contract is the coming together of two minds. And I feel like a lot of times in relationships, we don't have that coming together. Mm, so I have a reality, you have a reality, and we don't realize that those realities are different until we need to make a decision or an issue comes up. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, we're going to do a conference. We're both excited about the conference. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the details. Okay, I'm thinking 1,000. I'm thinking 3,000. Wait, what? Why would you be thinking that? And there goes the conflict.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we don't have like specific conversations. We're having, I think you said earlier, like these vague conversations, and we stay at like a 5,000 foot level instead of getting down to the nitty gritty. And that's the coming together of the mind. That's a contract. That is, without that, you're you're going to be like this.
We got one of our
gridlocked.
You get gridlocked.
It's not whether or not you have conflict. It's that how you're going to work through it and be able to have those. You're going to have conflict. It's going to be perpetual. Some of it will be. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, is how you're navigating and sharing those realities and not having vague. So in this, if it had been like, oh, we're having a conference and it's going to be big. Right.
Yes.
What does big mean?
What is big mean?
So for Melissa, big is 1,000 people. Right. For Kevin, it's 5,000.
10,000. Like, it needs to be MegaFest. Yeah,
yeah. It did. This is what happened.
It needs to be MegaFest. Why can't it be MegaFest? Because I'm not TD Jakes. So
because you just said 3 or 5. I've been to Dallas.
But you guys know that number, right?
And that's each important. Of us knows our own number.
But you now know each other's numbers.
Yes.
That's the coming
That's
together.
The coming together.
I will tell you how we had one of our worst arguments ever, and it just crystallized in my mind because of what you said. Years ago, we had two cars. Mine broke down. Okay. On the freeway to a shoot, it broke down. And then it was like the clutch. So it was like something, our transmission, something expensive, like more than the car was worth. So I told Melissa, hey, we're going to have to get a new car because this went out, right? So she didn't necessarily agree or disagree, right? I was like, I need a way to get around. I didn't say we need a new car. So I'm going to go look for cars. I come back. I bought a car. Right? Because in my mind, it's obvious we need a new car. I never said that clearly to her. I said, I'm going to go look and check out some prices and then left and came back with a car.
This was not a good situation.
Mm. No. And I just realized why. In my mind.
Tell us your revelation.
Melissa was working a regular job. I was working, doing shoots and stuff, so I had to travel to Santa Monica. I had to travel to Santa Monica 2 or 3 times a week at this time. And she was working here, right? So I take the boys to school, then go to Santa Monica. In my mind, it's impossible for me to get paid if I can't get to these places. It's before Uber, which is crazy. It's before it's Uber or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is we never even said, okay, this car broke down. What if you take me to work? And then you go to, you know, and then I'll find a way home or whatever. We never even went through the things. It was just in my mind, we have to get a new car. And in her mind, we have to arrange new transportation that may end up being a new car, but it shouldn't be the first thing off the rip. And if we do need a new car, do we need to buy a brand new car? Do we need to lease a car? Do we need to spend $1,000 and buy a little beater? But since we never had that conversation.
We never had the conversation.
At all. So that when I came back issue. With the car, she was really upset. And I'm like, why? This car's broken. I need to get to these shoots. Obviously, I need a new car. That's not obvious, though.
No.
There's other ways to achieve that goal. But I never shared my reality with her, and she never shared her reality with me. I didn't give her an opportunity to. I'm not blaming her. Mm-hmm. I absolutely just went and bought a car because I got a good deal. I had my credit. I had sweats on. They're like, oh, your credit is this. It's going to be like $229. And the craziest thing about it, Nicole... When I came back, I was expecting her to thank me.
Ah, yeah.
Thank you, Kev. Oh, what? It went the whole other way. Not only did she not thank me for getting a lease, because we had never leased a car before, I was like, this is a great deal. My dad was proud. And the thing, here's where family comes in, which is interesting. My dad was proud because he's like, oh, leasing is smart for you guys. But he didn't have the whole scope of the situation.
Right.
And he didn't know I didn't talk to Melissa. And whether he agreed or not, it's irrelevant if I didn't have a conversation with my wife because I don't live with my dad. But it just became clear. We referenced this before, but it never came clear because we never had that meeting of the minds.
Right.
Absolutely.
We never said, how are we going to solve this car problem? Because I never even looked into seeing how much it costs to get the car fixed.
And you know what's interesting with that is that I think a lot of times we say something and already have actions behind, and those actions aren't clearly articulated to the spouse. And there, again, there's no meeting of the minds. So you may say, the car broke down, but what you're really trying to communicate is, we need a new car. I'm going to go look today.
Yes.
And I didn't hear that.
I do that.
And so, again, there's no meeting of the mind. So my expectation or interpretation, my reality of we need a new car is, okay, we need a new car. Later on tonight, we're going to talk about steps to resolve this issue. Your interpretation is, we need a new car. I need an action step, which means I'm going to the dealership. I'm going to come home with a new car. Problem will be solved. I'm over here. You're over here.
You know what's funny about this? The car salesman tried to save me. He was like, hey, I know you're married. Do you need to check in with your wife? Because a lot of times what happens is people don't talk about it.
He said that? Smart man.
But he, ego first reaction.
We're.
I ain't got to check with nobody. Boy.
Child, you was trying to get in trouble.
Who paying for this?
Hello?
I'm paying for it. I ain't asking for her help on the car. Don't disrespect. He's like, okay, hey. Because I don't, as a dealer, he's like, I don't want you to come back and be trying to turn this car in because you can't. You're going to be mad at me when your wife says no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was smart.
He tried to save me, but I was like, are we good, cuz?
It's a meeting of the mind.
It's a meeting of the mind.
Yeah.
You're going to have to meet together. The meeting of the mind.
You have to have that shared, you have to communicate your reality so that way you can now have a shared reality.
Exactly.
When I am over here and you are over here, I'm telling you, you are brewing for
a virtual fireworks. Reality.
Right. No. And you want to, if you look at a human, whole person is mind, body, spirit, the relationship, mind, body, spirit. So the body part, people focus on that in relationships mm-hmm. and creating a lot of heart space as well. But you need to have that mind. You need to have that cognitive space for your relationship.
Oh, I like that.
And you have to share that. People, we can't read minds.
We can't read minds. Mm-hmm. All right, Kev, we're taking the pen out.
Scheduled sex.
Scheduled sex.
So here's the thing about it. How many times can you do it? No, I'm joking. So I was against this at first. I was against this. I'm going to tell you why. And you know what? If we're being completely honest,
you were
guys,
against the idea of scheduling
yes.
sex. Okay.
I hate to admit this, but this is a podcast of truth and honesty. A lot of my views of sex came from movies.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait, are you saying in theory or me?
I was concurring with your last statement.
In movies, it's always like, poof, knock stuff down, middle of the day. And they always put their hands on faces, which I don't think real people just like, hands on face, boom, sex, against the washing machine. And I was just like, man, that's, I like that. I want to be doing that. But then when you're like in actual life, first of all, during the day, people are working for the right. most part. At night, the kids are walking in. Yeah, yeah, I ain't had no dinner. Why y'all put it away? That's hard to be in the mood when there's snot-nosed kids. Like, can you approve that game I asked for? It doesn't even cost nothing. But the in-app purchases are $3 million. So
true.
I've come around to the idea of scheduled sex. But I don't scheduled sex doesn't have to mean boring.
Right.
It can mean that I look forward to this. Uh-huh. I'm preparing this. So me and Melissa talked about this a couple years ago. One of the things that I had to come to realize is that especially when she was working full-time and actually maybe even worse now because the thing about full-time work, at least you could leave some of that at work. Like, yeah, Melissa's job was one of those after true. Five, it's over. With this tour stuff mm-hmm. and planning a conference, I mean, you get an email and in her mind, it's like, laptop, packing shirts, whatever. It's like, and you know what, Melissa? We have stopped what we were supposed to do. We're supposed to stop working at 7.
At 7.
And we have not been doing that. We've been working. And it's because the work be building up for like so much. Yeah. And you'd be like, it's like if you don't get it done, it's just in the back of your head, like, I got to pack shirts. I got to do these emails. Yeah. But we need to get back to establishing our cutoff times because we've both been bad about that. But what she was saying is when we schedule sex, it allows her to know, okay, hey, I've got to finish X, Y, and Z before this. I need to cook this dinner because it's an easy cleanup. Whatever it is for her that day, that's what has to happen so I can get my mind in the mood for sex as opposed to like, oh, you want to have sex? Huh, fine. You know, that type of thing. Like, we actually just started planning date nights. We've probably been a month strong. Maybe,
good job.
Yeah, every week.
Yes.
Even since the tour.
Weekly activity.
And today I'm just like, man, she's going out of town tomorrow. I'm going out of town Friday. We got to get somebody to watch the boys. And we're still doing date night. But I feel like, especially because we haven't been doing the 7 o'clock stuff, like you have to make time for each other that's not work related, whether dating or sex, because otherwise you just be working together or living together, coexisting, and you're like missing a key ingredient of your relationship, which is the sexual part. And when you do have it, it's not, you know, great. So how do you make like a scheduled sex not suck? And how can you schedule a lot of it?
It's what you just did.
You're such a dork.
I'm not talking about the lot of it. That is between the two of you two. But it's what you just said, where you're able to talk about why you weren't open to it at first or what it meant to you. Or even talking about the images from the movies, which is so funny. Because if you break down those sex scenes, there's someone that's like, cut. Okay,
those were scheduled.
Like, those were completely scheduled.
There's a call shot.
Yes.
And not just that. This is actually immediately when I thought of. Most of the times, movies are written and directed and film from a man's perspective. And so what's often missed is what the woman needs. So what I was just thinking when you were talking about scheduling sex is ensuring that it's not just an appointment for the woman to show up to fulfill her husband's needs, but it's a whole day or whatever affair so that the woman is able to connect with her husband before the appointed time.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're scheduled and all it's going to do is now going to be an appointment on the calendar, but the result in the bedroom is going to be the same, which is she's going to feel disconnected. She's not going to feel like the intimacy. Like, she's not going to feel any of that. It's just now on the calendar. I know I have to do it on this day versus, are we going to do it this day? You know what I mean? Like,
have fun with it. Make it a date. There's a TV show called Parenthood where they scheduled sex. And what they titled it was Funky Town, which but it's being able to have fun with it and to make it your own and not have it to not have it being boring, being able to communicate throughout the day. But this can be not just for those scheduled moments, but where you are connecting. Maybe you're sending cute little text messages or sexy text messages
like nudes. Would you recommend
that?
So
this is a campaign, Nicole. I don't know how many podcast episodes.
Send him
how many podcast episodes you've listened to?
I've listened to a few.
Have you listened to
an ongoing? It sounds
This is an ongoing issue. Literally on our social media account, at least on my. I don't know if Kev's being trolled.
Nobody.
Okay,
nobody
so they're trolling me in my DMs.
We stand with you, brother.
They're trolling me in my DMs on some of my pictures and on Facebook to send Kevin a nude, and I don't know. I'm just weird with it. I just very, very weird. I don't know why. I just very weird.
We should just touch and agree and remove the spirit of fear. Amen.
We're going to pray right now. We're
going to
have
God, in the name of Jesus.
I can't stand
remove
you.
The spirit of fear, Father God. You made this body beautiful, Father God. You made it for the eyes. Amen. The bounties and the curvature, Father God, and we love it. Remove that fear from her mind, God. Send the electronic picture, Father God. Jehovah Thickness, I call upon you right now. The Bible said God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of courage and a sound mind. Be strong in your nude sending. Press hard.
I want to tell you why your prayer just hit the ceiling and came back down. Because you called my savior Jehovah Thickness.
No, I was just wondering his name. You got El Shaddai.
No,
Elohim.
He recognizes that. He says hello to El Shaddai. Jehovah Thickness.
Rafa.
He slammed the door in your face.
Jehovah Thickness. He's around the family. He ain't official, but he'd be at the barbecue.
He's granting no prayer requests, I assure you. So anyway, that is a campaign. But
you do think sending nudes is healthy for relationships?
If both partners.
No, don't say that. Because I send them all the time.
If both partners are in agreement, it's being able to have that. It's talking about, so another thing as far as communication and not being vague, some people have non-negotiables that they think are universal and they aren't. But so being able to communicate around that is different. If you're not comfortable and if it feels like it's a non-negotiable, it's a hard line, being able to explain that, and then also for Kevin to explain like what's going on for him, because what the meaning is. It's not about the nude, it's the meaning that's attached.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I think that is so important. Even
it is about the nude.
I was going to say that even in conflict resolution and conflict resolution and sex, and really just like in all like relationships, Will Smith or Jada, one of them said that expectation is the primary cause of disappointment. Something along those lines. And I feel like that is often the case where you were saying it's not just about I expect this and I think that this should be like a universal thing. Wives should send their husbands nudes. And I'm like, what do you mean that's universal? It ain't. I never heard. So being able to have that dialogue and then also being able to digest what's behind it. Because you're right. It really isn't just about the nude. It's more about how I feel about it or my body or whatever. Like there's always something behind it. And being able to have that discussion. And honestly, that's often what happens in like conflict. It's not about the kitchen being dirty. It's maybe about
I want you to do the dishes.
Well, not even just that. I want you to it could be. But if you're expecting sex at the end of the night, recognizing the burden of the household chores that has to happen and that's all placed on me, can you help me in this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That expectation you know, just being able to fully articulate, this is the act, but this is how I feel behind that act. Right. And that it just drives a conversation.
No, it is. It's expectations. And there was another therapist who actually talked about that, where when people say, oh, communication is the number one thing in relationships, when it goes awry, it's not communication. It's actually expectations.
I agree.
And whether or not those are unmet or unrealistic, and you're not talking about those. Because what I'm hearing from you is you want to stay sexually connected to your wife while you're on the road.
Yes.
What
yes.
I'm hearing from you.
That's what I want.
What I'm hearing from you Titties. Is that I'm not comfortable because I don't know in this day and age, and you've actually said this, that somebody might snatch it
yes.
out, ain't of nobody the snatch cyberverse. It out of the cloud.
It's encrypted.
It's a true
I got
fear.
I got a whole special app for this.
And so it's a fear. And that, yeah. So fear is trumping where it's like, I want to be sexually connected yes. to you while you're gone. What are some other things that the two of you can do?
That's how you reach resolution.
So I want to stay sexually connected to you when I'm finna be gone. How can I could take the picture on my phone, then it won't be getting lost. Right? Because you can't go through the cloud if it's...
I'm done with this conversation with you.
Why you turn it off? I said the same thing she said. I'm trying to set an expectation. I could buy a Polaroid camera. I could take it and it cannot be lost. In the
Polaroid
camera
is a better option than you taking it.
Josh, Best Buy now. Prime delivered now. I will pay $1,000 if it can be in my hand in 2 minutes.
They are. But you know what? I have other thoughts. So hold that. We'll talk later.
All right. Let's finish this episode.
Okay. So this is the. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Nicole, you can find her on Instagram somewhere. Love Hour Conference. Bye. 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 Bye, 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 whatever. We'll see you
there
later.
There was movement where you guys were gridlocked.
Yes, yeah. There was movement where we were gridlocked, and I think that was good.
You guys worth your weight in gold.
This is the last question, and I think it ties in very nicely into what we're talking about now, and that is, how do you keep the spice in your relationship? And I'll make that the last question. So I'll give you my definition.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd be thinking about y'all questions and be thinking I'd be knowing stuff. So I believe that spice is the direct relation between excitement and connection. So in the beginning of... I did.
That's good.
You did. Thank you. I like it. So I think you have a lot of spice in the beginning of a relationship because there's a lot of excitement behind it because it's new. It's a new experience. You're a new person. I'm learning something about you. Like, all of those things are occurring. I don't know all the chemicals that happen in your brain and your body that makes you all excited because this is all a new experience for you. And because of all of that, we're learning each other. So we're going out on a lot of dates. We're spending a lot of time together. We're on the phone. We're texting. We're doing all of these things. So there's that connection piece.
Yeah.
And those two together build or create spice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Naturally, we're like, the woman's feeling like super, super connected. So like her sexual, you know, juices are flowing. The man, like everything is just like working really, really well. But in a relationship where you've been in it for a while, that's naturally going to wane just because life and time, really, it's just mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. Like we've been together for just using Kevin and I, we've been together for, you know, 15 years. When we first got together, we didn't have kids. We got kids now. That's an added component to the relationship. We were in school. We had college. So we just went to clocked in for school for 3 hours. And that was like our day.
We took so many naps.
Like,
man.
We just was chilling. And now we have responsibilities. We have work. We have bills. We have outside engagements and business and all of these things. And it can pull from the opportunity to connect. And so how do you rekindle that that spice, so to speak, realizing or even just like reconciling that that time that you had in the beginning, you're not going to get back just as a function of time. You can't get back. So how do you rekindle or recreate that spice knowing that you can't like get that chemical reaction in your mm-hmm. brain?
It's being able to bring that into your awareness and being intentional about that. A lot of times this is where expectation comes in, where it's like, oh, we have to get back to. But what you mentioned, how you can't get back there, we're not time travelers. Mm. So you're already putting too heavy of an expectation saying we have to get back to point X or Y, that especially if it was in the beginning of a
relationship. I want to pause you and let you know that that's a fantastic point.
I thought so too.
Because you are in a different place in your life.
Right.
The factors of just say kids only.
Right.
that time is not the same. Mm-mm. There was nobody. I'm just right now. I know in the back of my head, we have to finish within the next 40 minutes because we have to get JoJo and get Zay Zay.
Yeah.
And then JoJo has practice on Thursday. So that was something we never had to think about.
His practice today.
Before she got pregnant. Does he?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I know, but coach text like right before the podcast. I know I was sad too. Keep going.
So, but I think in our minds, when we go back and say we got to get back to this, right. We forget what that time is. And some of those factors can't be changed.
Exactly.
So, you know, like losing weight, for example, the one time I lost a lot of weight, very easy job. Kids were small, didn't go to school yet. Just drop them off at daycare. No, I wasn't doing videos. I wasn't doing plays. I wasn't doing stand up. I literally had nothing to do but go to work. So it was easy. And it was a routine. We never went out of town. And I could work out 2 times a day, every day. Nothing ever changed. And I've always been saying, man, if I could just get back to that. But now I travel 4 days a week, most weeks. Just today, I was going to go to the gym. My son had to go to the doctor. She couldn't take him because she had to get ready for this. So now, because I have to take him, I can't go to the... You know what I mean? That right. And that would have never happened, you know, 9 years ago when I was last in shape. So I think that's a really important distinction to make is you can't get back to something, but you can create an environment for something that works now based on how your life is set up now.
And it might be better.
And it might be better.
It might be better. And people are so... Sometimes we get so stuck on holding on to getting back to what was, which is impossible.
Right.
And instead of doing stuff that might feel difficult in this present moment of where it can be better.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you said when we were talking before we started was getting a series of new beginnings and new endings. Can you expound on that? I thought that was so good.
So within a long-term relationship or marriage is that you're going to have a series of endings and beginnings. So sometimes people think about, oh, well, this feels like an ending, so we're getting divorced. And it's not necessarily that you need to get divorced. Your marriage might need to be new to that same person. And it's being able to have those restarts and recognizing that that's just part of the flow. We do that as humans, as individuals, so we're going to do that in a couple relationship where it's like, okay, this is an ending of one phase, now we're beginning a new one. Having children, people who are parents have seen that. Like, you've ended being a childless couple, now you have children. Mm-hmm. This is now a new beginning to your relationship, to your marriage. And being able to honor that instead of, I mean, you can mourn the loss of what used to be, but being able to honor how you are. And so what we talked about is creating some novel situations in the present, like travel. So you two talked about going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's a novel situation where you can have some excitement there. You can create that feeling.
But the kids going to be there, though.
you can still be excited with them or put them in, like, are you
able to
put
them in
the kids'
room.
Camp?
No, and, they have their own room.
They have their own room.
They have their own room, but still.
Get away.
One thing I think novel is so funny, novel situations, yes. I always talk about the importance of experiencing new things together as a couple.
As a couple.
I've never tied it together with spice, but I could see that it's what is the chemical reaction? Oxytocin?
Endorphins.
There's endorphins, oxytocin. All the feel-good chemicals when you first meet someone. Okay. And so that first phase, usually the first 3 months, is infatuation.
Okay. So all of those feel-good,
take your time, baby.
So many thoughts. So
all right.
Hey, I need you. We think that it is important to capture those beginning moments. Right. So that's why we always think we need to go back. Mm-hmm. We need to go back to this time. Even, it's so funny. Oh my gosh. So my parents are now divorced. They were married for 25 years or something.
20 some odd.
Something plus or minus. And one thing my mom has said since their divorce is... and even now, sometimes she'll randomly be like, I would think I want to move back to Germany or I want to move back to Hawaii. Hawaii and Germany were really good times.
Oh. Girl, what?
Family life. Hawaii specifically, my dad had just converted and like gave his life to Christ. Their relationship was the best I'd ever seen it. My, all of those things, they had money at that time in their lives because Hawaii, the cost of living is higher. So the military just gives you a bunch of money. All that was really good. Me and my sisters were older, so there was a lot more freedom. Like, it was just a really good time. Germany, my dad got saved right before we left Germany. Like, actually, Germany in the beginning was kind of rough for my parents, but toward the end is right when he like really got saved, and then went to Hawaii. It was like the full manifestation. So now when she is like, I want to go back, what she's trying to do, revelation I just got, is capture right. that goodness that she ties with those places, mm-hmm. instead of recognizing that's an end and I need to create and capture. You can create and capture those feelings, but in a new way.
Exactly. It's looking at what the feeling is, because feelings come and go.
Yes.
So if the feeling was excitement, how can you recreate that?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That is so good.
I'm still in awe of that.
Right? Yes. You've heard her say that before.
Yes. I never put two and two. I was just like, that is random. Why do you want to go overseas? Are you supposed to watch the kids this summer?
Hello.
That was my personal fear. Like, oh.
But man. It's right. And I think in relationships, I think that's a powerful revelation, because you will never, because the fact of the matter is, we're not time travelers.
Right.
And you cannot go back. And so instead of trying to fight time, accepting that and learning to create, what did we have then? We had excitement. We had new things. We had connection. Those are things that we need to try to recreate in this moment, in this space today, and not try to like go back to pre-kids, because your kids ain't going nowhere. Newsflash.
And if you don't prepare for moments that are ending, things that should be good can be bad.
Right.
Like our children are 12 and 10 now, and they promised they were just 5 and 3. So in a short period of time, they're going to be college age, yes. which either means they're moving away to college or moving out, or at minimum, not very dependent on us. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to find babysitters. We have to take them to, you know. So now you have opportunity for an empty nest situation that if you don't prepare for, this is a negative thing. Because one of Melissa's and our greatest fear mm-hmm. was, we were just mom and dad, not husband and wife. You know, right. it's just soccer and this and projects and recitals or whatever the case is. And then our kids are like, man, thanks. You guys raised us great. See ya. Going to start my family.
Right.
And then it's just like, hold on. We still got, you know, we'll be 42, I think, when both of our kids are out of school. Out of high school. Those 10. So in 8 years, how old will we be?
Do you really doing this math right now?
Yeah, that's a great age to be.
Oh, it's the best part of losing our youngness. Being able to have old kids early, because our kids are like, you know, all of our friends' parents are like 40 now, and we're like, yeah, I don't know, because we had them at 23 and that was late,
right?
When we had our kids, everybody already had kids. But the point I was saying is that's a new experience, because mm-hmm. like not having kids in the house ever is not the same as having kids that have moved out.
Yes,
right.
You know what I mean? So we're gonna have to get used to a whole newness, you know, walking around the house naked.
All right.
I look for. I got 8 years left.
But you plan for it together and being able to talk about that, because that is something that happens. Is mm-hmm. sometimes the relationship ends up in other people's eyes looking like it fell apart. But what happened is it wasn't tended to during all those years.
Right. Yeah. It was just built for that point in time of right. raising children, and nothing adjusted to allocate for your children are gone now. Now what?
Yeah, you want to make those adjustments.
You want to be able to make those adjustments, because I think as parents, sometimes we forget that our children are
temporary.
They're temporary, and they're just travelers.
In the house, home.
In the house.
I mean, they'll always be our children.
But they're travelers through your home. You raise them, you rear them, you prepare them, and then they move on. And we get caught up in those roles that we forget that one day they're going to be gone, and you don't want to be looking at a stranger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you have to tend to the relationship as husband and wife, and not just the relationship with the kids, because otherwise that is when you're so much of your identity is caught up in being a mother or a father when your kids do leave the house, because they're going to leave. Kids, they want to get grown. They want to move out.
The way things are going now, they ain't going to leave till they're 30.
Hello?
Houses are expensive.
Nah, they're going to want to leave. I mean, maybe they come back. But the point is, when they do leave the house and you've only seen yourself as mother or father, your identity is now gone with them.
Yes.
And you have to adjust. It's ending and finding a new beginning. And that can be hard if you've only identified yourself as mom during those, you know, parenting years.
You're gonna forever be mom. You will forever be, right? It's the shifting, but you're also wife.
Yes,
you're also Melissa.
Yes.
So it's being able to hold space for all that.
Being able to hold space for all that. I love that. Any other last thoughts?
Nope.
Miss Nicole,
thank you for having me.
Oh, you were welcome.
Thank you for being on
today's episode.
Yeah, you were. Thank you so much. Thank you guys, everyone, for sending in your questions. Do you have social media?
I do. I have Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. They're all at Nicole LMFT12.
at Nicole LMFT12. We will put that in the show notes, Kev. Don't forget.
Okay.
Okay. And you do you do any like virtual, do you offer virtual counseling?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, in person. So she is located in California, Altadena area. So if any of our listeners are interested, are you taking, listen, I'm about to try
That's
to
okay.
get you.
Okay.
Are you taking
so my my practice is in downtown LA and in Pasadena.
Okay.
I can always refer people when I'm full, and that's how that goes. And I have workshops and stuff, too.
Okay, cool. So you can find Nicole at Nicole LMFT12. We will tag her in the show notes so that way you can find her. If you're in the California, Southern California area, and you're looking for a therapist, definitely reach out if she is full because she stayed full and booked and busy. She can definitely recommend you over. Thank you so much for being on today's episode. I have thoroughly enjoyed you. Thank you to our sponsors, Open Fit, for sponsoring today's podcast. If you would like to join our 30-day challenge, make sure that you text love to 303030. See you in the next episode.